It's been busy down here, Greg. What do you find is the best thing to do when you have to manage a crisis situation? Is it to kind of block out the exterior noise and forge ahead? Do you stick to your routine, or do you try to change things up a little bit? How do you approach it?
Well, we've had our share earlier this year, so what I try to do is keep everybody focused on their job, including myself, and sometimes your job changes when things come up, but using all the resources of the organization. There's a lot of qualified people in our organization. They were extremely helpful when we had some issues, and I leaned on them quite a bit, because regardless of whatever comes up, there's a job to be done. And that has to happen as well. So that's kind of how my philosophy when things come up.
With the situation we're dealing with here, it doesn't sound like, or at least Coach Philbin's saying that he didn't have an awareness of what was going on at the time. No one ever brought it to his attention. How hard is it to know exactly what's going on in your locker room at all times with 53 guys in there?
You know, I can't comment on anybody else's team. I do know that, we have a collection of 61 guys. Some guys that are on IR, there's a lot of people, and it doesn't matter if you're coaching in the National Football League or at the college level where you have even more players. That's not easy.
Greg, have you addressed your team about this issue in particular, or kind of this topic in general, since this has happened?
Quite frankly, we talked about staying focused on what we have, and that's a game Monday night. And that's basically what we talked about. We address our conduct and our code of conduct at the beginning of the year, and we have a few things that we talk about continuously that, I think uphold the code of conduct and remind each other of the code of conduct. So that, to me, is a continual thing. It's not a once-in-a-blue-moon type thing.
Can you talk about the fine line between motivation in the world of football and leading into bullying and abuse? I mean, how hard it is to make sure you stay on the right side of that line. And also, explain to people who might not understand the culture of the locker room how certain actions that they see from the outside would seem normal inside a locker room, but not to the exterior.
You know, I'm going to avoid, I'm on to talk about the Dolphin Buccaneer game. I'm not going to turn this into a conduct press call. So I'd rather do that if that's okay, guys. I'd like to talk about the game and the matchups and those type of things. And if you want to, I'm willing to do that.
No problem, Coach. Well, looking ahead to that game, when you look at the Dolphins' offense on film, particularly the running game of late, what jumps out to you about Lamar Miller and what they've been able to do on the ground the last couple of games?
Well, Lamar's an impressive back. I thought that when he was coming out of my University of Miami, and he's lived up to what I thought he would be as a runner. I think that you can clearly see that there's a commitment to running the football, and they're good at it. So we have our hands full, and we've been really good at times stopping the run. We've been average at times, and we've been not so good. So we need to bring our A game for sure if we're going to stop this running game.
Hey, Greg. Cam Wake seemed back to his old self last week. He had three sacks and the game-winning play. What do you see in Cam Wake when you watched last game and maybe a couple of games ago? Because it seemed like a couple of games ago he didn't have the same explosion.
Well, earlier in the year, I think it's documented that he was battling that knee. So I believe it was a knee.
Okay.
And you could see, and he wasn't playing as much either. Sometimes it's just pure repetitions, opportunities. But you hit it on the head. The only thing that matters is where he is now. And he's playing at a very high level now, which, I kind of would have taken the earlier in the season, Cam, if he didn't mind. But I guess he wants to be playing at his highest level now. So,
Coach,
we got a big challenge ahead of us blocking him, that's for sure.
How are you handling and addressing the emotional aspect of being on Monday Night Football, trying to get that first win? And obviously it's also a night that you guys are honoring Warren Sapp, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of energy in that building. How are you getting you guys ready for that scenario?
Well, we have a process that we go through every week, and we try to out-prepare ourselves every week. We have a strong belief in preparation, and that's kind of where we are right now. And the results have not been what we've wanted, which that is the struggle, right, to stay the course. And we've played some good football, just not winning football, just not enough to win. We need to get over that hump. Miami's playing good football, so it's going to be a huge challenge, but we do enjoy the fact that we're at home, and this is going to be a sellout crowd, and we're excited about that.
Greg, when you look at the Dolphins' corners on say, Brent Grimes and Dimitri Patterson, are they cover guys? Are they playmakers? How would you describe them?
Well, they're good players. You can describe them however you'd like. Now, Dimitri Patterson, I don't know what his health situation is, if he's going to play or not. I'm anxious to see that because I do think that he's a really good player. He's been a productive player. Brent Grimes, I'm quite familiar with because we looked at him in preparation for free agency, and we played against him when he was at Atlanta. So, we all know what kind of player he is. So, certainly going to have to be careful. I know Mike's very aware of their skills and that they are guys that can take the ball away from you if you're not careful.
As far as Ryan Tannehill, he's got 14 turnovers versus 11 touchdown passes. But what do you see in him? Is he progressing? Has he hit a wall? What have you seen in Ryan Tannehill on film?
You know, Ryan, what makes Ryan hard to prepare for is his ability to move. You feel like you have him hemmed in, and then all of a sudden he extends the play with his mobility. I think he understands the system very well. He delivers the ball in a timely manner, and when he doesn't, he has good mobility, as I mentioned. We have to keep him in the pocket for sure, otherwise we're going to have issues. We've struggled the last 2 weeks doing that, keeping a mobile quarterback in the pocket. So it's a challenge. Miami is a well-coached football team. Jumps off the tape. They're the second least penalized team in the league. This is going to be a big challenge for us. But, again, one that we're looking forward to every week in the NFL. That's what you're up against. It's just a different set each week.
Have you got time about two more?
All right. Coach, when you look at the receivers that Ryan's throwing to, obviously he lost Brandon Gibson for the season a couple of weeks ago, but Wallace, Hartline, Matthews, and now Marlon Moore back in the fold. I mean, what sort of challenges did that group present to your defense?
Well, the loss is a costly one for sure. I mean, it seemed like that was one of his go-to guys. But, I look at Mike Wallace. He's a dominant receiver in this league. He's a speed guy. He's an athletic guy. And then, as you mentioned, when you go down the line, there's Hartline, who is just a grinder. I mean, this guy plays the game. Great technique, great effort. Matthews, in the slot there, has done a nice job. I think also a guy you have to mention is the tight end.
Charles Clay.
Charles Clay is doing a heck of a job. I mean, there's a dependable receiver who in the clutch makes plays. So I think there's plenty of options, and I think the thing that Ryan does a good job of, he distributes the football. You can see his experience in the system, and you can almost see the timing in his head, 1, 2, 3. He reads pure progression, reads very quickly. So, if you take it away, or you're going to appear to take it away and try to bait him into throwing somewhere, you better be really good at it, otherwise he's not going to play.
Greg, when you look at the Dolphins, one thing stands out, and that's the 35 sacks allowed. And, without berating them at all, when you see that, when your players see that or know that, doesn't that get you excited? Do you see an area of vulnerability, a possibility for you, a big opportunity?
Well, you do see the number, and I'm not naive to that. We've had our troubles the last couple of weeks getting the guy on the ground, getting the quarterback on the ground. So we have our own struggles right now. We've had guys free to the quarterback and miss the sacks and different things. And, my concern, again, is the elusiveness of this quarterback. He's a really fine athlete. He's strong. He gets away. So we're going to have to really strain our guts out and be precise if we're going to have a chance to get to him.